your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Well, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the second hour of the weekend edition. Happy to say that I have Trader Vic Sparandio on the line with me. Trader Vic and I are going to do a general recap of where we stand in the financial markets and find some of the opportunities that he sees in different sectors. But first and foremost, the biggest news hands down of this week, and could even turn out to be big news for this whole year, is that Fed announcement that we got on Wednesday, that instead of just being paused in a rate hiking cycle, I think we can now say that the Fed has flipped and they took off any rate hikes for this year, more so just saying they are going to sit and watch and wait and to see what these markets and the underlying data come out to be. Trader Vic, what do you have to say about that flip that we saw in the Fed just this week?
Well, actually, I would date the flip, the 180, let's call it a Barani, if everybody knows what gymnastics, what that means, a forward flip with a half twist. But the thing was, that's January 4th. That's when they officially did it, when Ben Bernanke, Yellen, and on a stage at, I think it was the American Economic Council meeting, a committee meeting, it was some conference, and Powell were at that meeting. And that's when they officially basically stated that they were changing a policy from 16 days before, which is the shortest flip in the history of the Fed in 105 years. So I would say that that was the critical date to watch. So let me just take you back a little bit. In October, I became an official bear on October 18th, when the S&P and most other indices closed below their 200-day moving average. Key there is, I think I've said this before in your program, the slope of the moving average has to be pointed downwards. If you don't sell when it's sloping upwards, only when it's sloping downwards, and that is the number one long-term indicator in the history of America as far as, you know, testing goes. Now, I'm not saying it's perfect. You can get whipsawed by it, but I'm just saying if you follow it, you make money in the long run in a large way. Now, the Dow theory is the second most, let's say, profitable, and that confirmed in early December. I think it was December 10th or so. I'll look it up while I'm talking to you. But the key was that you've been in a bear market, technically speaking, and certainly you've been in a bear market. It was December the 7th on the transport. You've been in a bear market fundamentally if you utilize the fact that the world is slowing. Germany, I believe, is in recession. So is Sweden. So is Italy. So is Spain now going into recession. I mean, the European Union, China, and Japan are, which Japan not an official recession yet, but most of the countries I've mentioned are already in recession. France hasn't come out yet. They absolutely are in big trouble because of the yellow vest movement. So the point of why I was so bearish and why I knew the Fed was making a major error, which is what I've said in many different ways, is because they weren't taking into account the world. Now, understand the S&P, the S&P's earnings, 45% comes from the world of its earnings. So it's huge. I mean, I'm not giving you the percentages. Europe could be 15, 16%, but when you add it up all over the world, it's a huge part of their earnings. And most of the world is in a downtrend. So there's no way this is not affecting the earnings of multinational companies, which is what is in the S&P. So all I can say is the flip came from the 19th when they started and they increased rates, and that's what the straw that broke the camel's back. Even though it was discounted, if you look at that day, the market got crushed as soon as they announced it. Even though everybody knew they were going to do it, nobody, I guess the hope was they wouldn't do it, but when they did, then the market got crushed. December 25th, Mnuchin says he wants a call with the plunge protection team. The next day, the 26th, the market's up 107 S&P points with no news. Give me a break. See, that's the government at work. Those are things that never occurred in my days, in my trading days. This is just mass manipulation. And then they announce it on the 4th. So you're now in a bear market correction. And that's important to realize, because what the Fed has done, and when the world is in the shape it's in, you can't reverse this. It's not reversible. So even though the market's rallying because of the December earnings news, the last quarter, and that's what you're seeing now, you're going to start to see some very bad economic numbers coming out, in my opinion, because just stopping what the Fed is doing, which is what they've said, they try to use the word patient instead of gradual increases. They say we're going to be patient. And then they also put the selling of the portfolio officially not on hold, but unofficially they're going to slow that down, and they're going to watch, debate being data dependent. So you can't, but you're not going to change the fundamentals. The House is now Democratic. They hate Trump. There's no way they do anything that benefits even themselves if it helps Trump. So it's over. I mean, you know, I hate to sound so bleak, but this is we're in a bear market. This is a rally, which you could expect when you have the Fed change its mind suddenly like it did. And the rally still continues, and the basic trade talks are going to be the last hurrah, because they look good, and there's conversations today that they're progressing. So after the trade talks, whatever happens with China trade, when that's out of the way, now you're going to get all of a sudden a pouring of bad news coming from every direction you can imagine. So I'm looking to be short, but after the trade talks, they're going to come away with something. And when that's over, that's my signal fundamentally to go short.
Wow. Okay. So overall, it sounds like even with the Fed paused and other central banks around the world, let's face it, the ECB, they thought they would be hiking rates about halfway through this year. That seems very much off the table. And combined with a trade deal, you don't think any of this can save the markets. Do you at least think that it can prolong maybe a bit of a sideways move rather than breaking to new lows?
Well, yes. The answer is, yeah, that's why I say you got to wait for the good news to come out. And I mean, if you're long, you should stay long. I trade long. I don't keep a long position because I believe we're in a bear market. So I trade and then, you know, buy and sell and buy and sell. But I'm always buying now. The key is I'm looking to sell. But understand, just a point of fact, this rally started on the 26th, so 6 and 31 is 37 days. I've categorized these movements going back to 1896. This is a secondary correction, meaning a correction in a bear market, and the median time is 52 days. Now, that doesn't mean this is going to go 52 days. It can go 80 days. It can go as long as it wants or as short as it wants. It gives you sort of a rule of thumb guide about how old this move is. If it were a bull market, this would be very, very short. But if a secondary correction, it's getting close to being an 80-year-old man, if you know what I mean, because 52 days is not too far away. So, but it still has some room statistically. And again, it's no magic number. It's just a guide of where you are in terms of where these things usually end. And this one is getting mature, but it's still not past the median statistical norm. So I'm only saying that the bottom line, when you pause, you're not creating stimulus. That comes from lowering rates, and it comes from fiscal policy, which is dead in the water. I mean, not going to be anything that happens in this economy that has to do with fiscal policy, in my view, because the Democrats won't even do it if it's in their favor. I mean, they want to get rid of Trump, and anything that's good for the economy is bad for them gaining back their power. So you can forget anything good coming from government. It now is up to the Fed. The Fed just flip-flopped from being raising rates to pausing. They have to wait another couple of months before they even consider lowering rates. So the first quarter, as you know, of the last several years, I think it's about 4 or 5 years, has been the weakest quarter. So this quarter is going to be especially weak in my view, because you have the shutdown in there, and you've got what people are not admitting or talking about, is you've got a weakening economy worldwide that is going to affect U.S.
Yeah, it really will. And that's something that we've talked about a number of times, is that contagion effect with how weak all the other countries, especially the more established countries around the world, their economies have been. That does trickle straight over to the U.S. You said something interesting there, though, is that you think it'll be a few more months before the Fed can even talk about starting to cut rates. Do you think it's going to happen that quickly? Do you think by, say, the end of Q1, we could be hearing from the Fed about rate cuts?
Well, the way they would do it is to hint to you, right? They hint first. And let me make a point of order. The head of the Dallas Fed, who's not a voting member, and they usually use a shill like this, when the market was really cracking in December, right around when the Fed did that buy program, you know, that marked the market up 100 S&P, 107, he came out and said, I think, you know, we should slow down, we should pause. So he sort of sets the stage. This is this moral suasion stuff that the Fed tries to do. It's a con job. You know, if somebody's trying to sell you something, they don't say, here, sign on the dotted line. They show you the product. They give you a little massage. This thing is the greatest thing since sliced bread. You know, it's the same pitch, the same concept of marketing. So in this case, I would say that you've got till March before they start to hint, near the end of March, the first quarter, and they're not going to say anything until then. They've already said it. The point to consider is this: since 1900, the market leads recessions by 6 months. So you can look for a recession, statistically speaking, everyone is, you know, could be a little different, it's not magic, is July is when the recession's going to hit. That would mean a down quarter in March and a down quarter in June, which I see as very conceivable, although you would hear that talk on TV. But again, where's the stimulus? You're pausing. You still have, right now, Fed funds are 250, and the last reported inflation number was 1.9. So you do have official tightening, you know, if you want to look at it that way. The Fed funds rate is above, substantially above, the CPI, and you're virtually inverting. If you use the 2-year versus the 10-year, I mean, you may be 18, 20 basis points away. So all I'm saying is, meaning the 10-year is higher than the 2-year by about 18 basis points to 15 basis points. So, you know, that's another signal of a recession, is when you invert that curve. But all I can tell you is that, you know, the good stuff is now behind you. The bad numbers are going to come out from now on. So you'll have a decent quarter in the last projected number was 2.7 by the Atlanta Fed for the last quarter. And that's possible. I wouldn't be surprised if it came out at 250 or it came out at 2.8, but in that range. But after that, you're in trouble. The market, the U.S. is in trouble. So we'll see what happens. But, you know, that's my thinking.
Okay, what about the U.S. dollar, too? The U.S. dollar will have a couple push and pulls here. With how weak Europe is, that could raise the dollar higher, but with how weak it might trickle into the U.S., and now the Fed being way less hawkish, where do you see the dollar fitting into this trade?
Well, the dollar has been in a trading range, and because Europe is so weak, the euro right now should be five cents lower. The euro is 114.90 in round numbers. It should be 106, but because they manipulate things, they're holding the euro up. Even with the Brexit talk, I mean, it didn't go down much. And then as soon as they stated, and this was in the, I believe, was in the Wall Street Journal, on the last page about a week ago of the first section, that the ECB was considering doing QE again, and then all of a sudden it spiked the euro. And I can tell you the date as soon as I open my machine. Yeah, they said this on the 25th. So it broke its lows. It broke this trading range it's in on the 24th. The 25th, they came out, orchestrated with the Fed, that the Fed is considering, same day, Fed is considering not selling their portfolio, and that was on the 25th, and all of a sudden the euro spiked up again. And now the dollar, they're still in control of currency. So if you ask me what I think of the dollar, I think it's going to be in this trading range for the foreseeable future. I can't tell people to go long or short it because, again, they're controlling that very well.
Okay. Now, how about any opportunities out there, any markets that you see benefiting from this change?
The one I pounded the table on, I'm still, and I do have a position, so I can't, it's an investment position, is gold and silver. These are the only things that never really moved up in this bull market. They get a beautiful basing pattern. They are now breaking out. Gold is 320 in round numbers today. If it gets above 330, if the space is open up to 1400, after 1400, you go back to the old highs in September. So all I'm saying is that's the cheapest group, the gold. And in this case, the mining stocks are extremely cheap, and they move much faster than gold does. Gold is very slow moving. You get your leverage on the stocks because as gold moves up in price, the costs don't move up proportionally. So there's logic to this. So you can look at your favorite gold mining stocks, and that's the cheapest group. If you're talking fundamentals or value, the gold and mining group is the cheapest group out there, and gold has moved up, pretty significantly here in the last in the last month and a half. It made its low in on trading level on November the 12th. So it's basically been an uptrend since then, and I mean, just it was 1209 on November the 12th. It's now 13, as I just said. I'm using futures here, but 1320 in round numbers. I've moved it up 20 beeps here. So it's made a nice move. It's going to continue to make a nice move. And because, again, why is it making a move up when the market's making a move up? Because the Fed is stimulating by not raising rates from what the market perceived. Now, that doesn't mean they're lowering rates yet, but the market is reading what I'm saying. The world is slowing down. The ECB's changed. The Fed has changed. And as time goes on, they're going to change more because they're not revealing how weak the world economy is. They're not talking, but they never talk it down,
Yeah, that is very true. But hey, Trader Vic, great having you on the show. Thanks for spending two segments with us and breaking down just how important you think that change in Fed policy has been or will be, and actually where it came from, which was much earlier than just that statement this week. Trader Vic, have a great rest of your weekend, my friend.
Thank you. You too.
To find out more about today's guests, Visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.